Hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and Colossians chapter 4. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. First three words, and they continued, last two words, in prayers. They. You know, it's hard to have a prayer meeting by yourself. It's not even accurate when you're alone praying to say, our Father. You say, Father, you say, Lord, you say, my Father. Only when the church prays together can you literally actually fulfill the Lord's directive to say, our Father. So it's a great reality of a church continuing steadfastly in prayer. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Continue in prayer. He's saying this to the church. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue to be watchful and vigilant and steadfast, ever doing it. Continue in prayer. Verse 3, with all praying also for us. Others who are in need depend on the church praying for them. I bet Peter, after he got back to that house in Acts 12, I bet his appreciation for the prayer meeting escalated. You know, prayer meeting is pretty important. His life was preserved because of a church prayer meeting. I want to speak this morning on what? The church at prayer, the church prayer meeting. And my desire is that every one of us would go away, go home. If you're single, just think about it. Do some homework. If you're a married couple, talk about it. Be honest and evaluate your life in 2019 in light of the church at prayer, praying together, the church prayer meeting. I have been an attender of church prayer meetings for 46 years, since my conversion in July of 1973. First Baptist Church, Clarendon. That's a suburb of Claude. When I was first converted, the Wednesday night prayer meetings were good, and I grew and I enjoyed them. In college in Abilene, 1975-76, the Wednesday night prayer meetings were good. In seminary in Fort Worth, 1976-77, marvelous prayer meetings. My church right across the street from the campus. My first pastorate in Guthrie, Texas, 1977-78. The prayer meetings were wonderful. In Denton, 1980 to 91, Grace Church of Denton. Some of the most amazing prayer meetings, weren't they, Tom Sadowski? Weren't they, Philip Neely? Weren't they, Baker Hughes? Weren't they, Lord Jesus? They were amazing prayer meetings. Denton, 1980 to 91, amazing prayer meeting. And those were the years of the Leonard Ravenhill Friday night prayer meetings. Linda and I would load up before we had children, and then after we had children, young parents, catch that, notice that, after we had children, we would drive 2 hours to Lindale, and we would get home about midnight. 8, 9 years, Leonard Ravenhill's prayer meeting, Friday nights, were simply transformative. Providence Chapel, 19 years of prayer meetings. I was calculating. Josh Young does not trust my math, but that's okay. I was calculating recently that we're approaching, in the coming months, our 1,000th prayer meeting of Providence Chapel. Now, Lee, just relax. His mind's already, he's so much better mentally and intellectually than me and at math. He's trying to figure that out, but check it out later. Just stay with me. If I'm wrong, that's okay. It's a sermon illustration. I'm pretty close. I'm pretty close. Where were you 19 years ago when we started our prayer meeting? Yeah. So, no, I'm not getting on him. I just saw his eyes going and his mind was there and not with me. So, in over 45 years as a believer, I have been in over 2,500 church prayer meetings. Ian Leiter has been to a lot of church prayer meetings. He knows what I'm talking about. He grew up breathing in the atmosphere of good church prayer meetings. Romania, 16 years ago, about 10 men, the single most powerful prayer meeting I've ever seen and been a part of in my life. The prayer meeting, my point is, has been the most significant part of my Christian life, hands down, as far as experientially growing and pursuing God, because the prayer meeting bolsters us in our walk with Christ that just praying alone doesn't do. The most important choice of my Christian life has been to be a regular participant in my church's prayer meeting. I would rather be in a prayer meeting than almost than in a Sunday morning service. I would rather be in a prayer meeting than in an evening of worship with the Gettys. I like those. I would rather be in a prayer meeting than in a Christian conference or a theological lecture or a Bible study or a missions conference. Now, every meeting can be a real means of grace. All of those I mentioned are valuable and profitable and beneficial, but none are more biblical or as important as the church prayer meeting. Because those come and go. Some of you just returned from the G3 conference. And it was phenomenal, the blessing. But it only comes around once a year, right? The church prayer meeting in your life as a Christian should be a staple. But some say, it's only a prayer meeting. Do you know the greatest national revival in Northern Ireland history came only in a prayer meeting of teenage boys? Started in a prayer meeting of teenage boys who wanted to pray together and the greatest revival in Northern Ireland's history spread like wildfire. It was only in a prayer meeting that the power of God came as a 15-year-old boy prayed down the power of the Spirit and it swept across the island of Lewis in Scotland in 1949. In Acts 4, it was only a prayer meeting where the house shook. In Acts 12, it was only a prayer meeting that saved Peter's life. Only a prayer meeting. It began in prayer meetings are places where conversions can begin. Prayer meetings are places where saved marriages that are on the rocks can begin to be salvaged. It's in a prayer meeting that often family transformation begins to happen that's essential. In prayer meetings, the fall of communism started in the 1970s and 80s in Eastern Europe. I remember Ravenhill would pray in tears, in agony sometimes, for Eastern Europe and the suffering church in Romania and the Ukraine and those countries. And then in 1989, right, Alan, 1989. Communism falls. It's only a prayer meeting that often a new work of God begins because of the prayer meeting. Now let me give you some biblical wise reasons for the church prayer meeting. Number one, corporate prayer is found throughout the Old and New Testament, right? Corporate prayer is found throughout the Old and New Testament. in various ways. It should go without saying, the prayer meeting is foundational and fully biblical. No proof is needed there, right? You know it, and I know it. It's throughout Scripture. God's people gathered. They assembled not only for corporate worship, not only for feast days, not only for times of solemn assemblies, not only for preaching and teaching, hearing the Word of God like in the days of Ezra when they assemble, but also for prayer together. They called on the Lord together out of a pure heart. It's so biblical that in corporate prayer, the church is participating in the activity of God. Now think about that. We cry out. He has inspired our praying. We're coming together as one heart and one voice before the Lord. We're crying out to Him for something which He purposes to do, and He wants to use prayer to do it, and God acts. The church prayer meeting is participating in the very activity of God. See Acts 2:42. The church prayer meeting is biblical. If you are a person who is one that is wanting to be reformed more toward being biblical, you want to be a biblical Christian, there you go. The church prayer meeting is a biblical reality. Reason number two. Being biblical, the prayer meeting is as important as the Lord's Day worship. The church prayer meeting is a called meeting by the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And so whether it's Wednesday or any other day of the week or on the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is as important as sundry corporate worship. On the Lord's Day, we worship and we sing and we preach and we teach and we're transformed. When we have the prayer meeting, we're praying together and we're calling on the Lord out of a pure heart. Worship and praying, a balanced church. Worship and preaching edifies the soul. Corporate prayer puts that soul growth into work, into action for kingdom advance. As we meet with God and cry out to God together, the edification and the instruction and the inspiration and the strength of the Lord's Day should carry over into praying together, because prayer is spiritual work. Whether you're praying alone or whether you're praying with the brethren. In Lord's Day worship, we commune with the triune God. We sing and we hear His voice through His Word and His servants. But in the prayer meeting, God is the audience. In Lord's Day worship, we're the audience and we're hearing His voice. In the prayer meeting, God's the audience. Think about that. He hears our cries. He delights in the prayers of the upright. Corporate prayer is as important as corporate Sunday worship. Reason number three, the prayer meeting, I got this from a wise man. The prayer meeting is where new believers and young believers learn to pray more maturely. Think about that. Think in Acts 2, those pagan people who had no clue about the gospel. Pentecost happens, the early church is birthed, and Acts 2 says they were praying, they continued to pray steadfastly. Acts 4, they lifted up their voices to God. In prayer meetings, new believers, untaught believers, timid believers, shy, fearful believers learn to pray in a way they won't learn in any other way but with the brethren. Can any of you raise your hand just as a testimony that you were afraid, you used to be afraid to pray out loud or in front of other Christians, and now you've broken through because you've prayed in a prayer meeting and it helps you? I know it's true. It was true for most all of us when we were at the beginning of Christian life. The prayer meeting, like no other atmosphere, where else will they have a number of examples before them about what it means to pray? Where else but the prayer meeting will they see and hear and experience how believers truly pray? Where else but the prayer meeting will new Christians take courage to realize that their simple little prayers before God are as important as the Apostle Paul's or Paul Washer's or John Piper? Your prayers, young people, when any of you children or young people, when you pray in a prayer meeting and I'm there, your praying encourages me more than any other people praying. It really does. Keep it up. Press in. Do it more. Where else but the prayer meeting will timid and shy and fearful and untaught and inexperienced Christians learn to pray with others? For their growth, for their church's encouragement, and for God's glory. Where better than in the church prayer meeting? That's a good reason. Reason number four, the prayer meeting appropriates and unleashes God's power to work. It simply does. Because God has decreed prayer, He's ordained, and it's His will that people everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands, Scripture says. And when we pray, God chooses through prayer to work. That's why He's established prayer. We don't know the mystery of that. We don't understand the relationship. We don't have to. I don't know anything about a car engine. I know where the oil goes, and I know where the radiator. Some cars don't even have a radiator. I found that out one time. I don't know much about car engines, but I do appreciate driving a car. You don't have to understand the mystery of God's sovereignty and the responsibility of prayer. Just pray. God will take care of the rest of it. God is ordained to unleash His power and move through church prayer meetings. It's simply true. See Acts 4, see Acts 12, see church history. See the history of revivals and spiritual awakenings. Prayer meetings, especially local church prayer meetings, bring God's presence near often. They bring God's power down. They bring answers to prayer. They bring the moving and activity of the work of the Holy Spirit. God answers prayer. And He hears in the moment. He is engaged. He is delighting in, He's interested in, He's all hands on deck with His heart and His unlimited grace to move and answer to prayer of the cries of His church. The prayer meeting builds faith and spiritual experience in a major specific way. It simply does. In Acts 4, they gather together. There was persecution. There was threatenings. They gathered together. They cried out to God. And God comes. And God moves. And He shakes the house. And He empowers and baptizes afresh the church with spiritual reality. And the church is newly equipped with courage and boldness to keep on. A church prayer meeting can bring converting power. It can bring saving power and deliverances for the Sims in Lebanon. When we pray for them, things will happen in Lebanon. For our dear brother right now in the Middle East who flew this week and he's still half sick with the flu. Our praying can effect change. It can open doors as we pray on Wednesday nights in Jordan and Iran and India and China. Iron gates yield to the prayers of a church prayer meeting. Walls come down. Doors are open that men can't shut. Doors are shut that men can't open. Number five reason. Prayer meetings, in a special way, kindle and stir our affections, our emotions, and our will. I've often not wanted to go to a prayer meeting, and I said, I need to go. It'll please the Lord. It'll help me. I'll come out all the better. I would go, and I would be stirred and strengthened and encouraged, and I would come out of it saying, I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do that more. It's prayer meetings stir our affections and our emotions and our wills and put us more into action when we're sluggish, when we're lethargic, when we're waning, when we're half asleep. A prayer meeting will wake you up as the saints of God pray together. Doctrine equips the mind, but prayer fuels and warms the heart, often even more than just teaching or preaching. While worship is basic training and strategy equipping, the prayer meeting is active duty. It's playing in the game. It's playing offense and defense. I believe it is the most spiritual action and work a Christian can do in the earth, is not only to pray, but to gather with their church to cry out to God. Nothing brings your spirit and heart into touch with God's presence like real prayer together. The prayer meeting lifts burdens. It encourages the downcast. It strengthens the weak. It gives hope to those where hope is fading. It strengthens weak knees. It lifts up drooping hands. All by the power of Christ coming through the prayer meeting. The prayer meeting is a central place for experiencing the presence of God. Reason number 6. The church prayer meeting is the place where the church together practices corporate dependence on God. Think about that. The prayer meeting is where you, with your brethren, practice corporate dependence upon God. It's where we together say in prayer, Lord, we cannot, but you can. Lord, we're unable, but you're able. Lord, we don't have what it takes, but you do. Work. Practicing corporate conscious dependence on God. The prayer meeting is the place of united conscious dependence on God to do what only He can do. Reason number 7. Stay with me. Prayer meetings change things and they change you. Luke is the only writer that records that the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus and the three went up there to pray. They went up there to pray. Leonard Ravenhill used to say, there's nothing more transfiguring than prayer. Now, he used to say something else that I never agreed with. I never argued with him about it. But he used to say this, prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes us and we change things. That's simply not right. Prayer changes a lot of things. We pray, God acts, and He changes a person. He delivers. He does this. Prayer meetings change things and change us. There was a year, at least a year, we prayed for Krista's mother with advanced bone cancer, and she went into remission, didn't she? For a good while. And we prayed for her for a solid year. We've seen young children related to our church with bad cancer, and they're cancer-free, and we prayed for them regularly as a church, crying out over and over again. A church prayer meeting will accomplish things that corporate worship does not produce. More answers to prayer, more unity, more body life, more ministry. It was when the church was gathered praying, the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts 2. As when they were praying that the house was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they had new boldness to preach the gospel. It was in prayer in Acts 6 that they chose new leaders and the word of God continued. It was in a prayer meeting for Peter. He was delivered from prison. Barnabas and Saul were sent forth on the first missionary journey out of a praying church, Acts chapter 13, verse 1. It was through church, the church at prayer in Acts 14, that the apostles appointed elders in every church. And it was in a prayer meeting that the Ephesians saw Paul for the last time ever. And they kissed him and told him goodbye. It was a prayer meeting. Kingdom changes, kingdom provisions, healings, conversions, miracles, mighty acts of God come from prayer meetings. God does things in an hour of prayer that never often happen outside of a prayer meeting. In our prayer meetings, God is answering prayer when we pray. A church without a true prayer meeting, a church member without a church prayer meeting, is like a ship without an engine room. It's like a bird without wings. It's like a car without a fuel line. Corporate prayer is the furnace room, the heating room of the church. God sends power and efficacy and grace and love flowing and lubricates the life of the church through love and through prayer. Corporate prayer is the kingdom's limitless reach. It's the church's untapped, exceeding abundant local, national, and international and cosmic resource for unlimited fruit in the kingdom. You can do things more in a prayer meeting or things in a prayer meeting that you can never do overseas. We have an international ministry that's powerful in a living room, in a prayer meeting. To be a praying church, one thing is essential. Its members must pray together regularly. That was brilliant, wasn't it? To be a praying church, its members must pray together regularly. To be a praying church, you don't have to be large, where two or three are gathered. Yeah, I know it's about church discipline, but you don't have to be large. Jesus' church was 12 and he lost one. You don't have to be wealthy. It doesn't take money to have a good church prayer meeting. You don't have to be smart. Childlikeness in prayer is more important. You don't have to be impressive. The weak are mighty in God and the lame take the prey. You don't have to be strong and impressive. You don't have to be famous. There's no celebrities in God's prayer meetings. And Facebook doesn't work there. You don't have to be impressive, popular, educated, influential, or anything else. You just have to be a church that needs this one thing to be a praying church: faithful members who are committed to the prayer meeting. A person, a Christian, who doesn't attend their own church prayer meeting with those they know and trust, why would they ever attend a prayer meeting with strangers? Now think about this. There are professing Christians. There are true Christians that don't regularly pray with their brethren. Which means one has to say, I'm a Christian who does not pray with other believers. Is that biblical? Is that New Testament? Does that please the Lord? Because that person, it could be said of that person, you are a Christian who is hardly ever, if ever, in any prayer meeting. I would like for that Christian to give an account for that on the day of judgment. Why did my son, my child, why did you not? As 2019 is before us, Linda and I drove in November. We drove from Seattle back to Texas. And you leave Utah and you hit I-80 going east in Wyoming. You can almost see Louisiana. It's I-80 is so flat and so far. I mean, it's just, well, you know, It stretches out before you in an amazing way. And what you see is just the hills. And we saw a herd of caribou playing over on the pasture. And you can see for miles and miles and miles. Brethren, 2019, it's stretched out in your minds before you, like I-80. It's there. You see it. February's on us. Spring's coming. Right? 2019 is before you. Spiritually, corporately, what are you going to do with it? A year from now, it would be a sadness if any believer in our midst would look back and say, a year from now, I didn't go to one prayer meeting. Why didn't I? I went to two, but why only two? Was I self-centered or kingdom-centered? Think about this. You can invest 52 hours in a year if a church is praying at prayer an hour weekly. You can invest 52 hours of 8,700 hours in a year praying with your church. 52, 8,700. That's 0.6% of your year's time praying in the prayer meeting. Now, think about it. If Christians spend an average, maybe not an average, but if a Christian spends 5 hours a week on social media, that's 260 hours a year. So if I'm on social media 5 hours a week and 1 hour a week in prayer, I've spent 52 hours in prayer with my church and 260 hours in social media. Five times more spent on social media than praying with the brethren. And I'm sure those averages don't play out right, because some spend a lot more than 5 hours a week, right? But people think they don't have time for a weekly prayer meeting. So what if, by attending and participating more than ever in the church prayer meeting, the closeness, as you're able, the closeness with your church family increased, and you were loved more? The only way relational love happens is incarnational, when we're together, right? There's nothing like being together with one another, across the table, in a prayer meeting, where relationships deepen. Closeness with the church family would be multiplied. Deeper relationships. What if by attending, you increase in weekly encouragement in an amazing way? You had new strength and new zeal for the Lord. And children began to get converted that you've been waiting on for God sovereignly to act. And He's wanting us to pray more together for them. Lost family members praying for them. More power in our witness. More spiritual fullness and joy. Seeing and experiencing regularly answers to prayer. What if all that happened? In light of Christ's glory, can we not strengthen our church prayer meeting more and more? Prayer meetings. We have 12 every month. Is that right? In three locations. Yeah, that's right. I'm not getting a negative. We have 12 prayer meetings every month in three locations. In light of Christ loving the church and giving Himself for, can we not gather as much as is possible to pray with our church? In light of His invitation, call unto me, in light of His promises to hear the cries of His people, can we not watch 1 hour, as Jesus said to His men? In light of prayed prayers getting answered, and in light of unprayed prayers not getting answered, could we not strengthen the prayer meeting with our presence and our praying. Specific encouragements. Number one, in the new year now, choose to go consistently. I know there's all kind of details on that, distance, work, but just choose to go as consistently as you can. Some don't go because of children or work, but some who have children and work, they juggle that schedule, and a father comes, and the next week, the wife comes, the mom comes. They trade off so they can both be in prayer meetings. Choose to go regularly. Make it a part of your week, your monthly calendar. Faithfully attend. Trust the Lord even at times and take the whole family. What an impact a prayer meeting might have on a child. Support the brethren in prayer by going. Number one, choose to go regularly. Secondly, when you go, pray. If you're a Christian, you certainly will pray silently, but if you're a Christian, don't sit there and not lift up your voice to God. It'll encourage the brethren. They'll agree with you. Take courage. Your growth in grace will be expedited, and your encouragement will follow you out the door that night. When you go, pray. They lifted up their voices to God in the early church. Number three, if you can't go weekly because of work or distance, go once a month. Go twice a month. Make a true godly effort. Beloved, I call today all of Providence Chapel and all of our elders and deacons would urge all of us, let's examine our life and our walk. We all believe in the priesthood of the believer. Your own conscience binds you to what Christ wants of you. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about a life-giving reality of a healthy church and growth in grace. You have to do what Christ wants you to do. But in light of Scripture and in light of the vast, phenomenal blessing of a church praying down strongholds and laying hold of things and sending missionaries and supporting the gospel and seeing loved ones and people converted. In light of all those things, examine your life and walk and see if you are fully obeying the Lord and the New Testament on this issue or not. Examine your motives and choices. Ask Him what He wants of you. Search your heart before God's presence. What do you do on prayer meeting nights? Are you benefited more by attending or not attending? Is God glorified more by going or staying away? You know, we sing the hymn, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's not the title. What's the title? I don't remember. But there's a line. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. But I promise you, week in and week out, month after month, burdens are lifted in the church prayer meeting. They are. You know it. You've experienced it. Burdens are lifted in the prayer meeting that are lifted no other way because God has ordained and made it clear that it's His will for His people to pray together. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may what? Two things. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace, let us draw near together and obtain mercy and find grace. Our Father, the church at prayer. If we had a vision, if we could see in the Spirit, just envision conversions happening in our church, through our church, weekly. Envision hearing of healings. Envision hearing phenomenal reports from overseas about things we prayed for. Envision amazing provisions when it's most needed. The joy and the excitement and the faith and the zeal and the heart stirring that would flow in the maturity that would explode in our midst if we could see what God could do and would do through our prayer meetings if we laid hold of God as a praying church more than ever. May God help us. Continue in prayer with watchfulness. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. I ask you to apply it. I pray you'd bless your word to the increase of the mighty flow of grace through Providence Chapel, through our prayer meetings. Souls are dependent on our church prayer meeting. Provision for missionaries. Provision for new laborers going and being sent are dependent on our church prayer meetings. Oh God, equip us and help us. Make us more than ever truly a praying church. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.